Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Maybe they wanted to keep this thing down until after the song so they couldn't hear me singing. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning, and a very special welcome to those of you that are visiting with us. We hope that you have a meaningful worship experience with us this morning and that you will come back to see us often. I want to ask members and visitors alike, please, to register your attendance now as the attendance pads are passed down the pew. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we would like for you to please consider Main Street. And if you would give us your address and phone number, we'll have someone get in touch with you and let you know more about what's going on in the life of Main Street. Reminder that the final program in our special parenting series will be tonight from 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. The program tonight will be presented by Dr. Carol H. Watson, and the program topic is Wholeness and Reconciliation for Our Children and Youth. There will be supper served there, and there will be child care for children for that. So parents, please make plans to attend that. We have a financial planning series, which is scheduled to begin on September the 24th. It will be centered around the book written by Dave Ramsey entitled The Total Money Makeover. It's going to be moderated by Jim Dennis and Jimmy Logan. They've got 18 people that are signed up for it already, but there's still plenty of room if you would like to participate in that. The cost will be $24, which will cover the cost of the book and the workbook. But if you are going to participate, you'll need to contact Kathy Kelly no later than September the 7th, so that they can get the appropriate number of books ordered for that. So if you're interested, contact Kathy this week, and the program will begin on September the 24th. Also, our Wednesday night gathering series continues this week. Meal at 5:15 to 6 o'clock, and the program from 6:15 to 6 o'clock. The meals are catered, and I forgot to bring up with me the menu for tonight, but the menu I do know was pork tenderloin, is that right? It is being catered, so it is very important that you make reservations. There are yellow reservation pew in your pew racks there. If you have made a standing reservation and will not be attending this week, it's important that you also contact the church office and let them know that. Remember that tomorrow is Labor Day, so the church office will be closed. So we need for you to make your reservation using the reservation cards today, if at all possible. You have a choice of two programs this week. Reverend Dennis will be starting a Bible study on the book of Esther, and the second program will be a DVD discussion program on a topic entitled Making Love Last a Lifetime. So you've got two choices for your programs this week. Please use the reservation cards to make reservations. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
Will you please stand for the call to worship? Your throne, O God, endures forever. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God has anointed you with his gladness. My heart overflows. Be seated. Please join me as we pray through the invocation as printed on your bulletin. Let us pray. Wise and caring God, we seek your guidance for our lives. Inspire us to deeper faith and bolder practice. Forgive us when we get stuck in rigid patterns of thinking and doing that allow little opportunity for your Spirit to move us. Often we have failed to understand that our rootedness in faith is meant to nourish the growth of belief rather than to keep us in one place. We gather this day to affirm that your love abounds, to celebrate that your Spirit is in motion. Lead us, O God, and give us courage to follow. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we prepare for our time of prayer together, I just have a couple of concerns and I wish to lift up before you. One is Barbara Stroud is in the hospital, and we ask for special prayers for her. And also, Cecil Browning has been and remains in the Morton Center, the medical care center at Wesley Commons. And please be in prayer for Cecil. I'd like to add to the list that we have printed on the back page of your bulletin a first cousin of my former college roommate. Her name is Eleanor. She's very special. She has very limited mental facilities. But has a very deep and childlike faith and has been diagnosed some time ago with cancer and is not expected to live through the day. So for Eleanor and for my old college roommate Perry, who was brought up with her, I want us to be in special prayer. For Steve Alexander, recovering from eye surgery, for Lindsey Gray, Barbara Stroud, we mentioned, Alma Cromer, recovering from back surgery, Bill Sandel, recovering, Candace Peppers, Joyce Bartless, Phyllis Legg, R.J. Fife, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, Clint Faulkner, Selma Jones, Reverend William F. Rogers, Kyle Bennett, Ray Ballantyne, and Bette McCord Bly. Let us, along with our own prayers, lift these names and concerns together before God. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come here dressed and pressed and showered clean to your house of worship. Lord, we wish our hearts, minds, and souls were just as clean and neat. They are not. We are not. Parts of us are corroded with old wounds and bitterness and spite. Other parts are consumed with regret and envy and jealousy of others. Lord, we wonder how you can love us, how you can regard us with grace, and yet you do. Your love is too amazing to consider. Help us merely accept it, rejoice in it, and be filled with it, so that we can love others as you have loved us. Lord, for the world and what we have made of it, we do pray. And for those around us who are grieving and those who have difficult decisions to make, for those with financial problems, and with our prayers for our children, for our grandchildren, for our marriages, and for ourselves and our church, Lord, we lift up our private prayers in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear them, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to ask the children to come down front for the children's message today with me. But as they are coming, I think that I have a correction. Rudy, unless you know something I don't know, I believe that the parenting series is not tonight, but on the 10th. The newsletter has that scheduled for the 10th, the wholeness and reconciliation with Dr. Carol Watson. That is not tonight, is it? It is the 10th, not tonight. You may be reconciled with your children and with each other, but not until the 10th. Now, I would like the children to come forward, please. I need everybody to come close by. Oh, yes, we do usually take up the collection. Well, we'll just, if you have money, you can just put that on the altar rail there. We'll get that later. Put that on the altar rail if you have any collection.
Come closer. Everybody come around and get in a circle around me. I've got something that I haven't tried out yet. Danger when you haven't tried something out. I've got some baby powder with me. We are going to get a new sound system beginning next week and some new microphones, and it's just in time. Okay, come all the way around. I need a circle. I need everybody to be just in a perfect circle around me, a perfect circle. You need to back up just a little bit, and you need to come in just a little bit. Come on, I'm not an engineer. Here we go. Now, this is baby powder, and I'm sitting here with a black robe on. It's probably a bad idea. I wonder if I put some baby powder on your hands, and let's just see, on your hands, I want you to hold the hands of the person next to you. Go ahead. Hold hands. Now you hold hands with her. Okay, now you hold hands with her. Go ahead, hold real good. Now smell your hands. Can you smell the baby powder still on there? Now you hold hands with her. We're going to keep doing this until we run out of baby powder smell. Okay, now you hold hands with her. Now smell your hands. Do you still have baby powder on it? Still? Or is it gone? No, it did not make it that far. You have to come back to the source. You know, that's one reason that we worship here every Sunday. We come back to the source to hear God's Word again, and we are strengthened by the hearing of God's Word. We are strengthened by the presence of God's Holy Spirit, and we are also strengthened by the fellowship of believers together. And every time we come back to the source, go ahead, we'll spread some more around. Everybody's coated in baby powder. The carpet's coated in baby powder. I should have thought of this a little bit better. Now let's spread some more around. Go ahead. Hold hands again. Let's see if we can get further and further with this. Go ahead. And it doesn't have to take so long. Okay. It really doesn't have to take so long. Okay. Now, did you get any? Did you get some this time? A little bit more? Okay. Keep holding hands. Do you have any baby powder smell at all? No, you ran out? Well, you get the idea. We should have practiced this some more. But the idea is you keep having to come back to the source, because if you stay away from church a long, long, long time and you don't hear about God and you don't hear about Jesus' teaching and you don't hear about the love and the forgiveness and grace that we have in Jesus Christ, after a while you might just sort of drift off. And that scent, that heavenly scent of God's love, forgiveness, and grace, it might just fade over time. So we always need to grow in faith, and that means we need to be connected to God's church and to God's people. Come back to the source each and every week. Let's have a prayer. You can hold my elbow. Go ahead. Everybody hold somebody's elbow or hand or something. And I'll do the prayer, and y'all do the amen. Lord, we do thank you as the source of our life and as the source of life eternal and all love and forgiveness and grace. We thank you for the good word, the good news that we hear here in your church. We thank you for the people that love us and teach us and care for us here in your church. Bring us yet again, every week, every Sabbath, on all the special programs to the source of love and light and grace, Jesus Christ, and the body of believers in His church here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And I'm fairly certain that'll come out of the carpet. Let us pass the peace.
Old Testament reading today is Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath, even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading today is James 1, verses 17 through 27. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In the fulfillment of His own purpose, He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof,
We thank you for enough to meet our every need and enough for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these gifts, these returns unto you. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Hear now the gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark, beginning with the first verse of chapter 7. Now when the Pharisees gathered together to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, observing the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they purify themselves. And there are many other traditions which they observe, and the washing of cups and pots and vessels of bronze. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with hands defiled?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of men." In verse 14, "And he called the people to him again and said to them, 'Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a man which by going into him can defile him, but the things which come out of a man are what defile him.' And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a man from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and so passes on?' Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a man is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My first church, you've heard me mention from time to time, it was a baptism by fire. My first church was in Hardeeville. And I learned so much there. And I say that in the same way people say they learn so much from their first marriage. When I arrived, I continued in worship what I thought was their tradition, standing for the reading of the gospel. And at the appropriate point in the service, I said, "Please stand for the reading of the gospel." Well, about half of the congregants stood, and the other half stayed absolutely stuck in their pews. And the half that were seated were making noises and rustling their bulletins and glancing up sideways and angrily at those who stood. I was perplexed. You see, I left seminary with this dream in my mind. I had this beautiful dream that the body of Christ would be unified, would be united. I'm sure that some of our retired pastors out there are smiling because they also had the same dream. And then they got their first church and they grew from innocent to initiated. I was shocked. And later I ask an older and wiser member, "Is your tradition to stand during the reading of the gospel or not?" And the older man said, "No, it is not our tradition to stand during the reading of the gospel." And I said, "Then your tradition is to sit during the reading of the gospel." And again the man answered, "No, it is not our tradition to sit during the reading of the gospel." But I said, I was perplexed. I said, "But the congregation is half and half over this. They're fighting over this. They're staring daggers over this. They're rustling bulletins over this. They're either calling names or not talking at all over this." And the old man interrupted and he said, "Yes, that is our tradition." Hardeeville. Jesus said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' You leave the commandments of God and hold tight to the traditions of men." And then Jesus says something very interesting. He says over in verse 14, he says, essentially, "Listen up." When you see in the Bible, "Hear me, all of you, and understand," that means listen up. There is nothing outside of a man which by going into him can defile him. But the things which come out of a man are what defile him. Out of his heart, out of his essence, out of his being. But that reminds me on a physical sense of my old friend growing up in Woodruff, David Schmidt. Growing up, Dave was my best friend and my son is named after him. And one day I saw Dave drop a piece of bologna on the kitchen floor and he picked it up and he gobbled it up and he smiled and said, 3 second rule. Dave didn't believe in the germ theory of disease. Dave took in a lot of questionable bologna over the years. But what came out of him is what matters to God. That's what God cares about. Nothing outside of a man, says Jesus, by going into him can defile him. But the things which come out of a man are out of a woman. That's what defiles us. That's what reveals what is in our heart. Now, what does this text say about God? I think it says that God is not satisfied with external religious doings. You know, we love to diminish religious faith down to bow this way, pray this way, worship this way, sing this way. That's right, you've got it. That's what God had in mind, and now I can judge you if you do it any other way. Yes, we love to make rules. He or she who makes the rules also makes themselves judge. But Jesus was not so concerned about outside ritual behavior. God wants our hearts, our souls, our minds, ourselves. God wants it all, inside and out. Not just memorize a verse and pray like this and sing like this and be on your merry way. God wants a changed inside that produces a changed outside, not just perfect rules and rituals. Now, in the Bible, we find constantly a thorn in Jesus' side. The chief nitpickers who worked against God in Christ were the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees, we get them confused with the priests. The Pharisees were not really the priests. The Pharisees were the lawyers. They didn't really concern themselves about the soul of faith. They concerned themselves with the trivia, the minutia. Not the heart of the law, but the letter of the law. And Jesus was looking for changed hearts who did what really mattered. Jesus looked for people who cared and did because they had God's Spirit informing their conscience. But the Pharisees, they were looking for washed hands and clean cuticles and perfectly combed hair. You see? What do we look for? What do we look for? We, even today, we judge people when they use the wrong words or grammar. Or we look askance at people if they vote in a way that we don't approve of, or if they drive a wrong car, or if they dress the wrong way we consider inappropriate or out of style. I read a story last week about an extreme example of this I could hardly believe. A young girl, it seems, some of you must have read this or heard this, she went to a new school. And some other girls asked her, what kind of music do you like? And she said that she liked heavy metal music. It might not be your cup of tea, but she said, I like heavy metal music. And she named a particular band. Well, because she answered that way, these other girls, now these were girls, attacked her physically and one stabbed her in the eye with a pair of scissors. Because she liked the wrong kind of music. Externals and the way we judge. God looks at the heart, but we judge so harshly on everything else. I've also read that in Iraq today, Muslims of the Shiite sect and of the Sunni sect of Islam have taken to changing the ringtones on their phones if they are in one area or another. Because if your phone rings and it plays a traditional Sunni song and you're in a Shiite area, you may be beaten or killed. So depending on where they are, they change their ringtones. Personally, I'd put mine on vibrate. Externals matter so much to us, but not to God. I'm reminded of the times that Jesus violated all the big rules like healing on the Sabbath. He did that several times. Once He healed a woman who was bent over with back problems for 18 years on the Sabbath. And at first the crowd was amazed. They said, "What can this mean? He must be from God." And then others said, No. It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. He cannot be from God because He did a miracle on the Sabbath. No. We limit what God can do if it doesn't conform to our list of propriety. I've met some squeaky, clean, outstanding churchgoers, and no, I will not name names or churches, but some who later revealed themselves to be trembling bundles of hatred and contempt and judgment against anyone or anything which did not conform to their view of reality. Sad. They were always, always quite certain that God was on their side or that they were doing God's will, even when they stared you down or put you down or made visitors feel bad for wearing plain clothes to worship or having different views or different backgrounds. Squeaky, clean lip service to God. But out of their hearts came judgment and spite. God does not need our help enforcing rules in His church. When Jesus said, "Whomsoever will come," that is exactly what He meant. Another time in Hardeeville, you may wonder, if somebody from Hardeeville was in the congregation, would you tone down your stories? No. Because they know it's true. Another time in Hardeeville, a group of people spat venom at me for the very idea that black people might come to a program I was planning. One left a meeting after tossing a hymnal and slamming a door. She said, "My grandmama did not build this church for black folks to come here." And I said, without thinking, I was moving anyway, I said, "No, your grandmama did not build this church. God did. And His Son said, 'Whomsoever will come.'" The gospel today is about nitpickers drawing lines to keep people out. They did not wash their hands properly and ritually, and so they were condemned. Jesus pointed out that the Pharisees, if you read the between section that we did not read, He pointed out that they had devised the system called Korban, the strict letter of the law way of technically devoting their money to God while their parents were alive so that they could not spend money on their parents. And apparently they found another tricky technical way of using the money for themselves after their parents die. Read that part we left out in chapter 7. Can you imagine someone so cold-hearted that they would tie up their money in a way to gain praise from the church and at the same time withhold it from their own parents until they died? Then they undevoted the money so they could live it up while pretending to grieve over the early death of their neglected parents. Can you believe such functional atheists using God to save money and at the same time look good in front of others? External religion is what Jesus was speaking about. External ritual purity against the reality of the internal change of the heart and the mind and the soul which God wants for us in Jesus Christ. You know, another example that's right here in this church. If you walk up that wooden ramp coming into the church, just right outside the sanctuary, and you look up at that huge brick wall, it looks absolutely solid, and I think it is 3 or 4 bricks thick. Is that right? Rudy, do you know? It's pretty thick. It looks beautiful and strong, but I've got some pictures here of the rotted wood on the inside of that wall that shows that the internal reality is not as strong as it appears from the outside. And as soon as we meet the budget and pay for the new building, that's the next priority. people, externals do not tell the whole story. Folks can be poor and have good hearts before God. People can be uneducated and be godly and faithful to the core. People can be dressed to the nines and lie every time they open their mouths. People can have multiple college degrees and have hatred and pettiness and jealousy running and ruining their lives. We are called to become something more. We are called to new birth. We are not just a sort of a club for God that pays the bills and does the same old things over and over generationally until we die and then our children take our place. No. Spiritual growth is what we are here for. Not a spiritual stalemate where we come this far to God and no further. Clean hands and not a changed heart. Growth and change is God's call, inside and out. To put it very simply, if we ain't growing spiritually, we ain't following Jesus Christ. And if we are completely satisfied with who we are, then we do not yet know who we are. I believe that. If we are completely satisfied with who we are before God, then we have not yet seen ourselves as God sees us. And if these statements strike you as wrong, then they are for you. Anyone satisfied in their faith is in danger, just as the Pharisees were in danger, of reducing faith down to a tiny little list of trivia. But God is not impressed with respectability. We work for respectability. We yearn for respectability. It opens doors for us when we have it. Respectability, but God doesn't care about it. God is no respecter of persons. God looks at the heart. And so your take-home assignment is to take yourselves less seriously. What you own and what you know and what you've done and what you would never do is all secondary to God. Think instead what God knows about the internal workings of your heart, your mind, your soul, the internal workings of your priorities and your choices. Have you kept the vows and promises to your wife that you have made? Have you kept the vows and promises to your husband that you have made? To your God that you have made? To your church that you have made? To your employer? To your country? Is there integrity between your heart, mind, soul, and your behavior out there in the world? I want us all to pray. Pray to the God who knows us through and through, inside and out. Let us pray. Lord, look at us. Look at our souls and show us our souls as you see us. Show us where we need to grow. Show us where we need to go from where we are. And Lord, help us never be satisfied with looking good. Help us become good and godly and more yours. More like Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, create in us new hearts, new life, abundant life, and the joy and the peace that you promised. These will come when we surrender completely to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how we finished 10 minutes early, but we did. Blessings on you. Receive this blessing. Lord, we know that we are not what we were made to be, and we know that we are not yet what we shall be as we move and give ourselves more completely to you. Create in us clean hearts, new life. And let the light of our faith, by the power of your Holy Spirit, be ever brighter until we shine in the darkness and attract those others you have called. And come and make more disciples and grow as we grow in faith and numbers. Lord, help us to be truly your church, faithful and growing, and continuing the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name, bless us and keep us. Amen. That's okay.